You and I back at it Tuesday, March the 18th, 2025, right here on Connecticut Today. I kicked off the show with my thoughts on a rather caustic op-ed posted by some Democratic state lawmakers reacting to recent statements from a Republican state Senate member, while state Senate Republican leader Steve Harding offered his thoughts on that Democratic op-ed as well. Our usual check-in with the Yankee Institute blogger Megan Portfolio unveiled more details about the so-called fiscal guardrails, while CBS News correspondent Allison Keyes chimed in from Washington on the latest rumored internal push by Connecticut Democratic Senator Chris Murphy to become the new U.S. Senate leader, possibly ousting Chuck Schumer.
So, you know what? If you're a Republican legislator in Hartford, look, I can understand the frustration. I can, because again and again and again, and we saw it with the energy bill last week, and now we're seeing it with something that Chris just had in his newscast. Any ideas that Republicans have in Hartford, by and large, are just brushed off the shoulder of Democrats. I mean, it's like dandruff there. It's like lint. It's like just dust. Oh, God, look at this GOP stuff on my shoulder. Again, you just heard there, top of the hour, from Chris Williams in our local newsroom about how, you know, Republican legislators say, hey, maybe there are so many stolen cars out there and police chases that, you know, maybe we should allow cops, for example, to have a judgment call as to whether or not they can chase a stolen car or something like that. I know that's been up for debate, but I get it. And I understand that. But, you know, you read this story, you scroll down here, and you say, and you see, by the way, from one of the frequent guests on this program, Steve Stastrom, state rep who was one of the chairs of the Judiciary Committee, ultimately, Democrats are the ones calling the shots in the Capitol Hill legislative session. Stastrom says it's unlikely any Republican proposal will pass on this session. Of course it's unlikely that any Republican proposals pass up there, because it's just the way it always is. So whether it's public safety, whether it's utility regulation, whether it's anything to do, there is just not the spirit of cooperation that many Democrats claim there is. But now somebody is standing up to this, and some of the Democratic leaders in Hartford, not only are they dismissive of it, but their arrogance is showing here. I don't know whether you saw this today. It's an opinion piece. It's an op-ed piece in the Connecticut Mirror. The headline here, get this, you ready for this? The headline here is, unlimited debate, fine, but not abuse. And it's written by State Senators Martin Looney and Bob Duff. Martin Looney and Bob Duff, the Senate Democratic leaders in Hartford, of whom their caucuses usually, if they don't just want to seriously debate things that maybe some of the Republicans want there, they just make it so they don't count. We'll get rid of them in committee. But now somebody is standing up to them, and now their arrogance is showing. In a recent interview, Republican State Senator Rob Sampson, who's been on this show, he's been on with Melissa, he's been on with Lisa, Rob Sampson let loose a little bit. And he said, here's a quote from Rob Sampson. My view on politics in Connecticut right now is that we're at war. We've been operating as if it's peacetime for too long as Connecticut Republicans. Good for Rob Sampson. And again, I take it back to what Chris just talked about at the top of the hour with giving police more leeway into car chases, with the stuff we talked about with Ryan Fazio yesterday. You know, regarding energy policy, some Republican ideas don't even see the light of day because of the arrogance of the Democratic leadership in Hartford. So because now our friend Rob Sampson uttered these quotes, my view on politics in Connecticut right now is we're at war. He added the quote, "We've been operating as if it's peacetime for too long as Connecticut Republicans." Well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with saying we're at war with the left? Does it all the time. We're at war with Trump. We're at war with MAGA. But God forbid a Republican says that. So listen, stay with me here. 203-333-9422. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to tell you more about now what the Senate Democratic leaders are saying. You're not going to believe this. You talk about the unbridled arrogance, because there's at least one Republican legislator who is standing up and says he will do whatever he can to stop this one-sided governance in Connecticut. And what do you think? Are Republican legislators in this state, are they too timid? Is it the go along to get along scenario here in Hartford? Should that go out the window? And if it means Republican lawmakers should kill bills, even if they're good bills, if they don't get any input on them, should those bills be killed if the Republicans are treated like second class citizens up in Hartford? We'll come back with that, and I'll tell you exactly what some of the Democratic leaders said about that. So the question we start off with, at 203-333-9422, 333-WICC, should the Republicans, if you're so inclined to chat for and to cheer for that side of the aisle, should the Republicans get a little rougher up at the General Assembly? And listen, we know that, you know, it's always good to get along, go along to get along, or get along to go along, whatever. But all of a sudden now, you've got at least one member of the Connecticut General Assembly, Rob Sampson, state senator, very conservative guy. We all know that. And Rob Sampson is alluding to the fact that he is sitting here saying, hey, enough of the Mr. Nice Guy here. And he has said that he will do whatever he can to derail bad legislation. What's wrong with that? If you consider that Connecticut Democrats, more oftentimes than not, at least at the end, now they talk a good game, but at least at the end, you rarely see anything substantive that happens in Hartford with any large amount of Republican participation. They run it like a one-party state. They run it like a one-party operation there. So apparently Rob Sampson said the other day, my view on politics in Connecticut right now is that we're at war. We've been operating it as if it's peacetime for too long as Connecticut Republicans. Well, yeah, I agree. So all of a sudden now, Bob Duff and Martin Looney, they're all afraid now. So they write this. And I just find this richly hypocritical. From a party that just routinely brushes aside Republican ideas as non-starters. Or another phrase they like to use, and there's some, you know, offshoot of this phrase, well, we'll look at serious proposals. So if they don't like it, it's not serious. If they don't like it, if the Democratic majority in Hartford and a lot of the people you keep reelecting for some odd reason, if they don't like it, it's not serious. It's a non-starter. And here are Martin Looney and Bob Duff, nothing personal to them, but my God, the dripping arrogance of this. Listen to this. As Senate President Pro Tem and Senate Majority Leader, we take no joy. Can you be any more pedantic? We take no joy to inform readers that one of Connecticut General Assembly's most time-honored traditions, you ready for this? Ready for this? It's under attack in this era of ugly and contentious politics. It's like the Democrats in Hartford are pure as the driven snow. Oh, my God. We refer to the long-standing convention of entertaining and limited debate. At times, this tradition has resulted in marathon debates that have tested the patience of our members. Oh, Senator Duff and Senator Looney, oh my God, this is so horrible, unlimited debate. It's like you're carrying guns in war. Anyone who has served in the state Senate has likely watched the early morning sun filter through the chamber's ornate stained glass windows. After a long night spent arguing over the asserted merits or flaws of a particularly contentious bill or amendment. Oh, my God. How do you people on the Democratic side do it? You think you were fighting fires, chasing down criminals, resuscitating heart attack victims. My God. Sometimes we argue over legislation. That's what you're paid to do, pal. It's important to know that Connecticut is not typical in observing this custom. Blah, 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 blah. Here in Connecticut, we've chosen not to utilize tools to curtail debate, though those tools certainly exist. We maintain this practice both as a professional courtesy to our colleagues and as a reflection of our desire to ensure that the voices of Connecticut residents represented by the minority party are included in our deliberative process. Oh, God almighty, what a load of garbage. What an abject load of garbage. Yeah, you include them in the process and you never pass anything with any substantive Republican input. I can't believe I'm reading this. But here it goes now. Here it goes. It has become difficult, however, to continue extending that courtesy to members of a reduced Republican minority. Oh, listen to this. They twist the knife, don't they? Of a reduced Republican minority when certain members have not only abused that accommodation, but boasted about that abuse in the media. Oh, my God. It's like, how dare those Republicans? It's like intervening in a papal mass. When the Democrats in Hartford are speaking, how dare they do that? Last Monday, Senator Sampson claimed to be humble as he told reporter Mike Cerulli that he wielded tremendous power over the legislature as it nears the end of the session. The claim was based on Senator Sampson's presumed capacity to, get this, abuse the tradition of unlimited debate in order to defeat Democratic priorities simply by talking until the state Senate ran out of time at midnight on the constitutionally mandated final day of the session. Sampson said, quote, in many ways, I decide what lives and dies. I really do. Listen to this. You can't script this arrogance. You can't. While we endeavor to ensure that minority party voices are heard, Senator Sampson, like all state Senate members, represents approximately 100,000 Connecticut residents. And then they end, Bob Duff and Martin Looney, they end with this. Folks, I'm not making this up. You could read this in the Connecticut Mirror. It's worth noting that voters have seen fit to expand the General Assembly's Democratic majorities in each of the last four election cycles. The people of Connecticut have voiced their desire for Democratic programs and policies, and we must honor that trust. No, 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 Mr. Looney. No, no, no. No, no, no. No. What you have to honor is the ability of the minority. It's easy to Bigfoot people when you're the majority. It's funny, Mr. Looney and Mr. Duff, that people of your party now are whining about the same thing. You look at Washington, oh, the Republican majority, they won't let us be heard. But it's okay that you do the exact opposite in Connecticut. Oh, I get it. I get it. Good for you, Rob Sampson. Bring the whole blanking thing to a halt. If you have to. I mean, my God, the arrogance of the Connecticut Senate Democratic leadership because Rob Sampson, one legislator, say, hey, I may burn this down. Good for you, Rob Sampson. Good for you. I'm telling you, it's time the Democratic legislators give a little more credence to what the majority, what the minority might want to consider here. And you see it today, where they've already said, ah, these Republican ideas on police chase is not going to happen. We saw it last week. Hey, these Republican ideas on electric bills, not going to happen. But God forbid a Republican legislator says, hey, I may slow the whole thing down. What's not funny is an op-ed that I kicked off the show with earlier today that was written and posted in the Connecticut Mirror by a couple of high-ranking Democratic state Senate members, Martin Looney and Bob Duff, seemingly lashing out at a Republican Senate member, Rob Sampson, who's been on the program here numerous times all over the radio stations, to say, hey, you know what? If you keep ignoring some of the Republican ideas here, we just may grind the whole thing to a halt. Is that a wise thing to do? I think so. Sometimes, selectively, Senate Republican leader Steve Harding drops by to talk about that. Steve, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Hi, Paul. It's always good to be on with you, and thank you for having me.
Steve, I had to laugh, and this is only my thought. I'm not putting any words in your mouth or thoughts in your head, but I had to laugh when, you know, I'm reading this op-ed targeting Rob Sampson about how, I guess, how accommodating the Democratic majority thinks it is here, and how dare your colleague Rob Sampson go and you know, impinge on this great tradition here, just days, Steve, after they toss aside Republican ideas on issues like electricity, like they don't exist. Are they serious?
I think it's a level of arrogance that, frankly, I have never seen in this building. And what Senator Sampson is doing what he was duly elected to do, which is represent and advocate for the principles he believes in, and most importantly, represent and advocate for the principles that the people of his district sent him up there to fight for. And basically what they're saying is he doesn't comply. He doesn't go along with our far left radical agenda. He basically should let us continue to push these crazy ideas like raising taxes, breaking through fiscal guardrails, banning gas-powered leaf blowers, implementing taxes and fees on your gas and your oil, that Rob Sampson, the senator for his district, stands in the way of all these things and is willing to do things within legal mechanisms, which we've always been able to do, to prevent them from implementing a far-left agenda that his constituents don't want and many people throughout the state don't want. And the fact that they're disparaging a fellow senator for doing exactly what a senator is elected to do is a level of arrogance I have never seen in the building. And frankly, shame on them. And I think this is an effort on their part to basically disparage anyone who gets in the way of the implementation of their far left agenda. And I'm certainly going to stand in the way of it. I know Senator Sampson will continue to do so, despite what this op-ed may say. And I know many other Senate Republicans will continue to do the same, because it's the right thing to do on behalf of the constituency we represent.
And, you know, Steve, I had to laugh at the thread at the end of the op-ed. Well, you never know if he's not a nice boy, you know, because Rob's not a nice boy. We may have to get rid of the unlimited debate. Well, you know what? Hey, Steve, I don't know about you. Call him on it. Say, go ahead. Make the move. Change the rules. I mean, you're right. This is a tantrum, Steve. I just don't get it here with the threats and everything.
What I don't understand, too, is they continue to brag about how they have a supermajority in the Senate, yet while they do that, basically complain that the superminority that they always point to us as are getting in the way of them implementing their agenda. So it really baffles the mind. That they are so concerned with only 11 senators. And I think what that means is that we're effective in getting our message across, and people in the state see what we're doing. And because it's common sense, and the measures that they push are not common sense. And the measures that we as Republicans and Senator Sampson push back against are not common sense. And what they're saying is they're willing to break the rules of the institution in unprecedented manners because they want to implement their far left nonsensical agenda. And we're going to stand in the way of that. And, you know, it's funny. They always use the institution as a way to defend their position. Mm-hmm. And I think in one part of the article, they refer to the institution in criticizing Senator Sampson doing exactly what he's legally able to and should do under the confines of the rules and Connecticut law. Yet they have no problem threatening to break unprecedented aspects of the institution in calling the question and breaking up unlimited debate, which has never been done, as far as I know, in generations in this legislature. So they pick and choose what they want to use from the institution, which is just it's a typical mantra from the Democratic Party here in the state.
All right, Steve, thanks. Steve Harding, Republican State Senate leader. Steve, continue to fight the good fight. We'll chat down the road. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, Paul.
I appreciate it. But right now, it's our weekly check-in every Tuesday at this time, quarter past the hour, 5 o'clock hour. The friend of ours who actually reads all these bills page by page, line by line, watches CTN. Nobody knows more about legislation. And I mean that because she probably knows more about these bills than the people who actually vote on them. It's Megan Portfolio. How are you? Good afternoon. You all right?
Oh, my goodness. You made me sound like a super nerd.
Well, did it ever occur to you that maybe you know more about these bills than some of the Einsteins that vote on them? I mean, come on. You must.
No comment.
That's a yes, isn't it? You probably sit there screaming at a screen watching CTN going, how do they know this is not in the bill? Right. Come on. Be honest.
My poor dog, Bruno. Sometimes I scare him. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm yelling at my computer screen and he gives me a look like he did something wrong. I'm like, no. You're just an innocent little puppy. You're good.
So you do yell at your computer screen because of what you see in Hartford. You do yell.
Frequently.
All right. So what might be what might you be yelling about in a good way to alert our listeners this week about?
I need some help. I need make everything make sense.
Okay.
To me.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's start with the federal level.
Okay.
We have all of these cuts coming and the world's coming to an end.
Yeah.
Rosa DeLauro is saying people are if this is life or death, people are going to die because of potential Medicaid cuts.
Yeah.
Chris Murphy is like saying any cuts to the food aid is cruelty for the point of cruelty.
Yeah.
Like this is all scary rhetoric,
okay,
right?
Okay, yes.
And then even our own, like our people's lawyer, Attorney General Tong, is, you know, saying that if we get rid of the Department of Ed, it's playing politics with our kids'
of
education and it's harming them.
All right.
So it's pretty scary stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what do we do here in Connecticut?
Okay, tell us.
We have these wonderful fiscal guardrails that limits how much we can borrow, how much we can spend, how much we can count on for revenue. Like there's certain sources of revenue that we get. You know, it comes from the stock market.
Sure.
It's one day it's up, one day it's down. Yeah. It's not reliable. You can't automatically, like you invest in the market, you can't automatically assume you're going to win.
No, of course not. It's
like
a gamble.
The casino.
Yeah, it's a gamble.
Gambling.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have all of this stuff at the federal level. People are dying. Mm-hmm. World's coming to an end.
Yeah.
So what do we do down here? Let's adjust the guardrails.
Yeah. Yeah.
And increase spending.
Yeah.
Now, I just found another bill today. It was the Senate priority bill, SB1. And it's another one of these early childhood things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not knocking anything having to do with, you know, wanting to help poor people or kids.
Sure.
Like, I'm not upset about the actual policy. What I'm upset about is the way they want to fund these things.
Okay.
So how it works is we bring all this money in, they pick our pockets and they take all of our tax money and they spend it. Once we get to a certain point and we can't spend anymore because of the cap, we have to start putting money in our rainy day fund. And the rainy day fund is full when it gets to 18% of the net of general fund appropriations. So once we have that wonderful rainy day fund full, we've got surplus.
Yeah.
They want to rob the surplus of the surplus to fund these programs, but these programs are not like, you know, one-off programs. This is constant funding that's going to be needed, which leaves us with no surplus. Because that surplus, what that's used for is to start paying down some of our debt. The pension debt that I constantly talk about on your show, bonding, the treasurer takes that surplus and starts paying down the debt, which this is the stuff that you do. Like if you have a high credit card bill, I mean, I'm not really big into credit cards, but you know, some people rack them up and then fall on hard times.
Yeah.
You don't open up another credit card and start spending more money. You got to pay that stuff down.
Or you look at a way to pay it down where you're not having to pay all that interest, which means you pay as much as you can, and maybe you refi. But the thing is, you want to control your costs. Yes.
Yeah, and that's the responsible thing to do. And these lawmakers, all of them, mm-hmm. from the top on the executive branch to the top in the legislature, as early as like, you know, this year have been raving about the fiscal guardrails mm-hmm. and how they have made, you know, life so much better in Connecticut and the dark days are over. But then sadly enough, I read last week in the Hartford Business Journal, Comptroller Scanlon is now who has been really strong on this.
Yeah.
And he's been constantly coming out saying these guardrails are great. It's working. It's keeping our spending in
mm-hmm.
check. We're
yeah.
paying down debt. Now he's saying they're going to be adaptive.
Well, He wants to be governor. That's why.
And that's fine. And good for him. And I don't begrudge him of that.
Yeah.
But when our Connecticut leaders are standing shoulder to shoulder with our federal delegation,
mm-hmm.
press conference after press conference, the
yeah.
sky is falling. The cuts are coming. People are going to starve. People are going to die. Why are we not like, okay, wait, if Medicaid gets cut and all of these people all of a sudden have no health care, isn't it nice to have a rainy day fund? Isn't it nice to have a surplus? Why are you adding to the spending? Why are you adding more programs?
And not to mention, Megan, the guest, of course, Megan Portfolio, Yankee Institute, the Hartford Portfolio. Not to mention, we can't even get a straight answer from them.
No, we can't.
Okay, like how much would the expansion or the overall cost of migrant health care costs be or school health care? Now, they all went crazy when, you know, your boss, Carol, went on with Dennis House and said, well, one estimate's $1.3 billion. They went nuts. Oh, you're just a bunch of right-wingers. Well, okay, what's the number? Well, we don't know.
Exactly.
The heck you don't know? Stop that. Jeez.
I used to play this game with my friends. If someone would say, hey, let's go out to Legal Seafood. This is up in Boston.
Oh, I know.
And I'd say, oh, I don't like that place. I don't want to go.
Yeah.
Well, the rule was, if you poo-poo something, you have to come up with, like, a solution.
Yeah, like, Megan, what's your solution? Yeah.
So they're sitting here poo-pooing our number that we got from a study, but
yeah.
they're not offering any
yeah.
Well, then what is the number? How much, like, is it $5? Is
yeah.
it $1.3 billion? Like, you're not giving us anything to go off.
Yeah.
So, but we've seen this whole film before with this surplus
uh-huh.
money. I mean, if you've lived in this state in the early 2000s, you were here to experience an $875 million tax hike because we burned through
yep.
$2.5 billion in surplus money on random pet projects
yep.
and expanding the government. So we've done this before, and it wasn't fun. We didn't like it. We didn't like getting that tax hike. Well, we're now in the same spot again where they want to start raiding the surplus and not pay down the debt. And keep in mind, state employees are up for raises
mm-hmm.
and their health and pension contracts are up in 27.
Yeah.
So we're only going to be adding to the unfunded liabilities because we're increasing those costs. And now we want to raid the surplus fund for like these nice pet projects. It's absolute insanity. I mean, if there's one takeaway from
yeah.
this call
yeah.
for your listeners, contact your lawmakers and just tell them, listen, guys, don't touch the fiscal guardrails. Republicans actually offered, I don't remember what the bill number was. It didn't even get a public hearing.
Of
but
course
they had
not.
An option for pre-K programs. And how they were going to fund it was this baby bond program they
yeah.
have.
Yeah.
Like, stop funding. Like, people are getting paid to be born. And
mm-hmm.
when they turn, I think it's 18, you know, they're going to get a lump sum check.
Yeah.
Like in the old days, you know, we just all got jobs. I mean, I didn't grow up rich. I was working at, you know, I told you this before, my favorite job ever, McDonald's.
I love
that job. But that's how I made it to where I am. I had to work, unfortunately, and
yeah.
live in cheap apartments. But going back to this, we've done this before where
yeah.
we had surplus money and times were good. But then 2008 hit and things weren't good because I remember 2008
oh,
very well.
God.
I'd take a 15% pay cut. So I wasn't out increasing my spending. I had to rein in my
yeah.
spending. I had to, you know, pay off my debt. I mean, fortunately, I made, you know, decent money in sales. But once the recession hit, my commission checks went down big time. And then we all had to take a 15% cut in our salaries. And I worked for a big company at the time, so it wasn't like, you know, a small mom and pop shop.
So you're telling me on this early childhood education thing, because what you said was shocking. Hold on. You said that the Republicans had their own idea on how to
mm-hmm.
fund this, and it wasn't even considered by the majority. I'm shocked. That is just I don't know. I'm shocked about that.
And look, you're a realist. I'm a realist. I understand there's a majority party and there's a minority party. Mm-hmm. The minority party isn't going to get any of their pet projects through.
None.
And I understand that because if the tides were turned, it would be the same way. But the other guy would, you know, not get their stuff put through. Mm-hmm. But when there's actual solutions that kind of make sense, you got to kind of listen to it. Just because someone has an R in front of their name doesn't mean 100% of their ideas are bad. Yeah. And just because you have a D at the end of the name doesn't mean 100% of your ideas are bad.
It's what I keep saying. All right, folks, you can get this all in Megan's latest piece where she does the best job in the state of breaking down the dollars and cents and all this legislation. Check out the Hartford Portfolio. Megan, thanks. Don't yell. Don't make the dog scared. And we'll talk next week, okay?
Oh, no, we're going to go for a nice walk. It's beautiful out, so he's going to be a happy boy.
Nice. All right, Megan, take care. Be good. Bye-bye. Megan Portfolio there. Yelling at legislators on TV and freaking out the dog. A couple of quick minutes here with Allison Keys, CBS News, covering the folks on Capitol Hill. And the pressure now that's building on Senate Majority Leader or Minority Leader, Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer, who may be in the crosshairs of this gentleman.
It shouldn't take 10 years to build a bridge, right? It shouldn't take 5 years to get a subdivision permitted. Government is not working for people right now. And when I first got into politics, the Democratic Party every single day talked about reforming government, talked about reforming democracy, talked about getting big money out of politics, talked about strict ethics reform, and somewhere we lost our way. At some point, that went from a top three issue to like a top 20 issue, and that allowed the Republican Party to become the party that was actually aggressive about reforming government.
And that is Connecticut Democratic U.S. Senator Chris Murphy. Does he want to bump a certain guy out of leadership? Allison Keys with us now from The Hill, CBS News. Allison, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. How are you?
Not too bad. What's the deal? What's the buzz on Capitol Hill regarding Chuck Schumer? A lot of people may be, Allison, gunning for him, including that clip you probably heard from our own Chris Murphy. So is Senator Schumer on shaky ground here or what?
You know, this is the most pressure I have ever seen on him, and I've been covering him since I was working. He does, though, say he told CBS this morning he is not stepping down. He is not stepping down. He is not stepping down. He says he is the best leader for the Senate. And there are some suggestions. I mean, like Democratic strategist James Carville, who was the advisor to Bill Clinton, basically said that Schumer's decision to vote in favor of this CR might be a wiser decision than people think because there'll be so many points for the Democrats. The debt ceiling extension, the reconciliation, the tax cuts, and maybe Democrats will be able to do everything we could, but not many Democrats are saying that right now.
So basically you're saying I shouldn't practice saying Senate Democratic Leader Chris Murphy just yet.
No, not necessarily. And interestingly, that's very funny, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is being urged by some to mount a primary challenge against Schumer when he's up. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries is still supporting him, but the people that are really going in on him, I mean, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, who we all know was just running for vice president, basically says he thinks that Schumer believes he made a decision that reduced the pain and risk to Americans. But Walz says, and that could be a fair point.
Absolutely. Allison Key, CBS News on Capitol Hill. Allison, thank you. Have a happy day, and we'll chat down the road. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. There you go. Allison Keys, CBS News.